I want to read this morning from the sacred scriptures from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 26. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 26. I begin in verse 1. The Lord sometimes will visit us at some of the most peculiar places. I had smoked some venison and some fish last week in my smoker. For whatever reason, I was having a very difficult time. I guess I was overly exposed. You know about this, Ross? Overly exposed to the smoke. And man, I got that in my hair and my clothes. And I took a shower, and Angie washed my jacket and tied, and we could not get this smoky smell off of me. I mean, it was bad. I mean, up until yesterday morning, I still, you know, and I washed my hair. Now, it was probably cheap shampoo, but we used good detergent. We used Tide. But I would just occasionally get this whiff, you know, of smoke, and I was washing my car. Got a little whiff of that. Thought of these verses of Scripture. Now, I got plumb shouting happy while I was trying to wash my car. I mean, I got plumb beside myself as these thoughts just rolled over my heart. And I know there's no way that I could ever do them justice. But I want to read them this morning. I'm thankful for the sacrifices that people make in service to the Lord. As we were singing that song farther along, I thought of that. You know, we don't always know what God's intentions are. We don't know the mind of the Lord, and we try to obey Him and follow His leadership and do what He wants us to do. And we don't always know the results. We don't always know the reason or the outcome immediately. There have been many times in my life that I have followed the Lord, and I look back at those times, and it's very clear what God was doing, what His reasons were. But I'm thankful for those who have a heart to do God's will. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6, there's this phrase there, and it tells us not to be seeking to please men, not to be men pleasers, but to do the will of God from the heart. Do the will of God from the heart. And I believe that's what Mary was doing here in this particular chapter. She was following God. She got an impression from the Lord. She was convinced that this was the will of God, that she needed to do this. And she followed God and did God's will on this particular occasion that had some great and wonderful benefits and blessings to the service of our Lord. I think all of us know that doing the will of God is at the very foundation of Christianity. I believe we all know that it's one of the most essential pursuits of the Christian life. And I know that doing the will of God affects everything. It affects our evangelism. It affects whether or not we have favor with God or the power of God or the grace of God in our lives. It affects everything. It affects all of our relationships. It's important for us to know and to do God's will. To do God's will from the heart. Now, probably I'll stop and read this, because if I don't, I'll just start preaching. All right, let's start in verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, He said to His disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover. And the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people in the place of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted with they that they might take Jesus to subduality and kill him. But they said, not at the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman. Now there, when we examine the synoptics, when we examine the other gospel accounts and records of this particular event in history, Matthew, Mark, and John give us some additional information concerning this. We know this was Mary, the one that was sitting at his feet, that was learning. She had a sister named Martha that was busy. Remember that story? Remember that situation? This is the Mary that was sitting there wanting to hear the Word of God. Interested in hearing the Word of God. I mean, she had a unique and special desire to hear what God's will was for her life. And folks, that's where it all begins. The first step into knowing God's personal will for your life is to be committed to His moral will. Wanting to know what God has said in His holy Word. There has to be a commitment and a desire to do the Word of God in order to know His personal leadings in our lives. And I'm convinced that they're always harmonious. If God is leading you to do something, it will always be in harmony with His Word. I've had people come to me and say, well, preacher, I've been led to join this heretical church. No, you haven't. That's not in harmony with God's holy Word. Or somebody come up and say, well, God is leading me to love another woman. No, he's not. The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. People get all confused about what God is leading them to do. And we have a manager, we have a monitor, we have one that has set boundaries upon the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our personal life, and it is the Word of God. There's always harmony between what God's will is for us personally and what God's will is for us morally. Now, we the moral will of God, of course, are His precepts, His holy Word. Like the Ten Commandments, His mandates in Scripture, the clear, specific statements of things that He has told us to do that has come to us through divine inspiration. Those things are God's will for your life. It is in God's holy Word, and it says very specifically that God desires that all men everywhere be saved. If you're here today and you want to know the will of God for your life, the first thing you have to do is be saved. It's not His will. It says it in the book of Peter. It's very clear in chapter 3. It is not His will. Everybody say, not His will. It is not His desire that any person perish, but that all people come to repentance. That is the desire of God. And then let me just pause and say this. There are two theological aspects concerning God's will. There is, of course, God's decrees. Those things shall forever be. What He's decreed will be done. That's one aspect of God's will. But there's a second aspect of God's will, and that is His desire. We have those things that shall be, and we have those things that should be. His decreed will and His desired will. There's two theological aspects of God's will. And then it's broken down, His desired will. And I'm sure we want to do those things. from the heart that God desires us to do, don't we? We want to do His will from the heart. We know that Christianity is more than just attending church. It's more than just singing a few songs and having a prayer. Christianity is following the Lord Jesus Christ. Following Him and all that He's commanded us to do. He told us that Jesus said, if you will love me and keep my commandments, I will come to you and I will reveal myself to you. I believe in that process. I sure do. And so we come to the Word of God with a willingness to do His will, what He's recorded in His holy Word. All of it. Now let me give you a little insight into understanding God's will for your life in a personal way. And we all need to understand God's will for our life in a personal way. Who we should marry. What church we should join. Where we should live. I mean, there are personal things that God shows us that it is His will for our lives. Right? Now, the modernist, they'll say, well, just do His written will. Just do what's recorded in His Word. And then you can do anything you want to. In your personal life? No. I believe God has a specific plan and will for your life. And you need to find out what that will is for your life. You know, the modernist would say, well, you know, if you find a woman, you're a young man, and you find a woman and she meets all the biblical requirements, or if you find three women that meet all the biblical requirements, meets all the biblical requirements, and you just choose the pretty one, whichever one you want. We don't believe that. We don't believe that. Or if a pastor is called to preach, a man is called to preach, and he desires the office of pastor, then he doesn't have to worry about the leadership of the Spirit. As long as he's following the precepts of God's holy Word, he can choose any church he wants. We don't believe that. Okay? We believe, and there's example after example after example of these things. And Mary is one of those examples, just following God's will from the heart. All right. So there's two theological aspects of God's will. His decreed will, which was decreed before the foundation of the world. And there's His desired will. He desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what the Bible says. That's His will. There's other things that are just clearly stated in Scripture. This is the will of God. We read in the book of Ephesians that it is the will of God that you be filled with the Spirit. In Thessalonians, it's the will of God that you be sanctified and know how to possess your own vessel or your own body. It's the will of God that you pray. It's the will of, and on and on and on. There are specific things that are just clearly spelled out in God's Word concerning what God expects His people to do. And if you don't do them, those things that are revealed in His holy Word, you will go dark and not know what God's will is for you in your own personal life. See, I gotta do this in order to know what I'm supposed to do for God personally. And it's critical that I know. It affects my wife. It affected my children as they were growing up. It affected everything. I couldn't just fly by the seat of my pants. I had to know. And there were times in my life we had to know now. Not a couple of weeks from now. Now there's some things that you need to know about God's will for your life, and they only come through fasting and prayer. Amen? Jesus said there are some things that only happen through fasting and prayer. And there's been a couple of times in my life I needed to know God's will and know it now. My mentor, Brother Perrigo, he used to say this to me. And it was in private conversation. I don't think I've ever shared this with anybody. But we were talking one day, and he said, any minister that cannot find the will of God for his life is not fit to be a minister. He's talking about his personal life. And then he flipped it and said, any church that can't on their own find out what the will of God is concerning calling a pastor is not worthy of a good pastor. Man, let that roll around in your heart a little bit. This will of God is always in harmony. I'm convinced his prescribed will for our lives and his determinative will are in harmony. That his decreed will and his desired will are in perfect harmony. Man, when I was a kid growing up in a missionary Baptist church, and I said this Wednesday night, I'm going to say it again. I was instructed that if you can't harmonize it, whatever doctrine you have with the Word of God, then you probably have a false doctrine. And if you can't harmonize the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of men, it's probably because your doctrine is messed up. I've never had a problem harmonizing the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. If a man repents of his sins and puts faith in Jesus Christ, there will be a sovereign act that takes place in his heart where he is born from above. It's not that hard. Okay? There you go. They're harmonized. Just like they're harmonized in John chapter 3. They're completely harmonious. And as it is with the decreed will of God and the prescribed will of God, it's also harmonious with respect to what He has written in His holy word and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. His desired will for us, which is clearly spelled out in His holy word, and His personal will for us in our personal life. Now, let me just say this. I'm not going to read this in just a minute. The rest of this, I haven't forgotten. The written Word of God is the primary will of God. It supersedes and overrides anything that might come up in your personal life concerning the will of God. It is primary. It's over it. It's superior. Let's see, I had several things written down with respect to that. Let me see if I can find that right quick. It's primary. God's Word is primary because it is eternal. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word will never pass away. It's primary. It's prominent in its nature and its influence and its durability. God showing His will to you in your personal life with respect to who to marry is only temporal, because in heaven there is no marrying and giving in marriage. His leadership and His revealing of His will in your personal life concerning which church to join is temporal, because when we get to heaven, there's only one church there. Are you with me? Okay. So this is prominent, and it controls the desires of God concerning our personal life. So His moral will is far more reaching in influence and nature, and superior in nature and influence than His personal will. And you can't get the cart before the horse. Okay? Sometimes we're eager to know God's personal will for our lives. And what I'm trying to tell you this morning, if you will do His moral will, His personal will for your life will become second nature. When you need to know, He'll just show you. That's called walking with the Lord. Okay? I mean, critical things will come up in your life. You'll need to know whether or not to send your kids to a Christian school or to private school or to homeschool or, and all these things that you need to know. And let me just say, they may differ from child to child in a family. And you need to know what's best for this child. And I'm saying that if you'll do God's word, when those decisions come in your life, God will help you know specifically what His will is for that child. Wow. Let's look at this lady and what she does. Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto Him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment. Now, this alabaster box, we are told in the other synoptic gospels that it was worth 300 denaros. The NIV says it was worth a year's wage. I think the average wage in Hendersonville is about $85,000 a year. And so this alabaster box would have been worth about, in our vernacular, today, worth about $85,000. We're also told in the other synoptic accounts that it was a perfume, a pound in weight of precious spikenard. Spikenard is was a plant grown in East India. The perfume that was produced from the upper part of the plant wasn't as expensive as that which was produced from the root of the plant. So we're talking about some spikenard, some perfume that produced an aroma. We'll read here that the aroma was so great that it just filled the whole house. It wasn't the cheapest. She could have bought a cheaper. Y'all ever had the leadings of the Lord to like give money to missions? You know, have you ever had, and it'd be a big number, like, you know, $1,000 or $10,000. You ever had that kind of experience? What immediately happens? Your flesh starts talking you out of it. You know, or you start thinking about your family, or what's my wife going to say about us giving this kind of money to missions? And so you say, well, you know, instead of $1,000, maybe I'll just give $500, or maybe I ought to give, instead of $500, $250, or maybe $100, and you get down to write the check, and you write $25. You know which one was the will of God? That first impression you had. I'm sure she probably went through that same process. I've got to buy this to use in service of the Lord? I don't think she wavered or faltered any. I think that she knew, she had this impression that this was the will of God for her life. This is what she was supposed to do. And she bought the one that God wanted her to buy, and she used it accordingly, just like He wanted her to use it. Here we have an illustration of a lady that did the will of God from the heart. I just want to show you that, okay? And she took this alabaster box of spike. Now, this probably came in this big box and had a seal around it. And so it says breaking the box. It was breaking the seal. Once you broke the seal, man, the fragrance, the aroma just escaped. And so it was usually sealed. But it was very precious stuff, worth a year's wage. And what did she do with it? What's it say there in verse 7 that she did with it? Huh? She poured it on the head of Jesus. Just poured it out on Jesus as He sat at meat. One of the other gospel accounts says that when it finally ran down His body,
She used the hair of her head to wipe his feet. I guess so it wouldn't be sticky walking in the sand. I don't know. But now we have this aroma on Jesus and have this aroma on Mary's hair. That stuff isn't easy to wash out. It stayed for months and days. It could endure almost anything. Jesus instructed the beginning of this, and let me just say, and I'm trying to close. She was doing the will of God, and Judas had something to say about it. Didn't he? And he even convinced the other disciples, we could have used this for something else. We could have used this, you know, for the poor. We could have sold it and had the money. And in most cases, if you really do the will of God from the heart, somebody will have something to say about it. Yeah? We know the rest of the story. Let me read some portions of it to you. And when the disciples saw it, they had indignation. Now notice here, it doesn't point out Judas. The other account points out Judas got the other disciples stirred up about it. And just about all of them thought the will of God ought to be something else. You know, when you know the will of God and it's been revealed to you, He won't necessarily reveal it to somebody else. It's revealed to you. You're the one that's responsible for doing it. Even in the face of opposition, do it. If God has shown you that's what you're supposed to do, do it. And the smallest things or the big things, God has a purpose for it. He said, for this ointment might have been sold for much. You know, that's what that's basically what the church was saying. But Jesus said this. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. For my burial. Let me close. So you have this aroma poured upon Jesus. This perfume, that's what it was. Poured upon Jesus. Strong perfume. Strong perfume. And he said that this was done for my burial. For my burial. In other words, when he would be buried, that fragrance would still be on him. And you examine what happens in the chapters that follow as Jesus was betrayed by Judas. Even in that situation and circumstance, he still smelt that aroma of somebody willing to do the will of God from the heart. As he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying, sweat as great drops of blood, and he was calling upon the Lord and saying, oh Lord, remove this cup from me, but not my will but thine be done. He smelt the aroma of one willing to do the will of God. As they came and took him and had that mock trial, and as they beat him and spat upon him and mocked him and falsely accused him, and all the other disciples left him and forsook him, no one was with him. The shepherd was smitten, and the sheep, they fled, and he was by himself, but occasionally he would smell that aroma of someone willing to do the will of God from the heart. And when they took him to Pilate, and there too he was falsely accused, and he was spat upon and beaten. And when he was taken to Herod and the soldiers mocked him, he still smelt that fragrance. Occasionally he'd get a whiff. A fragrance that could endure the sweat, the blood, the beating, when they laid him down to nail him to a cross and they pierced his hands and his feet, there was still that fragrance that he could occasionally smell as he hung there on the cross trying to breathe and lift himself, dying of suffocation. He could sense and smell someone willing to do the will of God from the heart. And as they put him, and he finally died, and they put him in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, he was there making atonement with his own blood for our sins. There was only one thing that stirred in that tomb that was sealed with a Roman seal. And it was an aroma of someone willing to do the will of God from the heart. While he was going through all that, the one person who made the sacrifice and did God's will, what did she smell as well? Listen, you want a blessing from God? You get in the center of His will. And He will bless you beyond your wildest dreams. Blessings will come like you've never known. Just from the heart, do His will. You may not know why now. Maybe Mary didn't know why she had to get that spikenard. Why was that one so special? Why couldn't I have gotten a cheaper one? Because it needed to endure all of that to be present when He was buried. And I assure you, if Jesus said it was still, the smell was still on Him when He was buried, it was still on Him when He was buried. Because it was for His burial. If you're here today, stand to your feet. God bless you. I appreciate you listening to me. There may be somebody here, and you want to get in the will of God. This altar is open. If you've never been saved, you can never find out His personal will for you until you get saved. That is the first thing that must happen in order for God to work in your life in an amazing way. You got to get saved. It's His will that you be saved. Let's all of us. I appreciate the sacrifices that have been made through the years. I appreciate those that had a desire to serve God. Desire to do His will. Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 7, if any man, if any person will do the will of God, he will know the truth. He'll know the doctrines. Not only what's true doctrinally, but he will know the truth about Jesus. That's what Jesus said. John 17 and 7. If any man will do the will of God, he'll know. He'll know. You move toward God and He'll move toward you. Amen. He'll show you the way if you'll just move. He'll show you the right way. The true way. The true doctrine. The true Savior. He'll show you the truth if you will desire to do His will. Oh, that you'd come to this altar desiring to do His will and be saved. May all of us desire to do His will. Let's sing. Someone here lost and undone, this altar is open. Would you come? Anybody here lost and need to be saved today? Maybe you're seeking direction for your life. And all you need to do is yield yourself to all that God has commanded. This altar is open. Yield yourself to Him. Follow Him. Obey Him. Keep His commandments. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. But the only way you can be good is by doing His will. His written will. Yeah. He'll guide you every step of the way. Let's sing. Anybody here lost and undone? Maybe there's somebody here that's seeking the will of God for their life. I assure you the Lord will show you. God bless you. I appreciate you listening to me. I appreciate